I am so glad you are here today. I want to thank you for coming and to share this moment of worship and this celebration with us. And I have wanted to say, who can you share these kind of moments with? And who can you bring to church and bring to become involved in the life of this family of faith? Obviously, this morning, the King sisters, I call them sisters, even though they're cousins, but the King sisters have brought family this morning, and we have really got a good time planned for getting to baptize two precious little ones. So, I'm happy you're here, and while last Sunday was great, let's make this one to remember as well. I have a few things to share with you. We've got some things coming up to begin the season of Lent. We have Shrove Tuesday on February 25th when we have a pancake supper sponsored by our youth. And it will be on February 25th, and the next day on Ash Wednesday, February 26th, our Ash Wednesday service will happen in the chapel as we begin the season of Lent. So those things are coming up. There's also a blood drive coming. If you can sign up, if you're one of those people who can donate, finance team meeting, foundation meeting, these announcements are all in your bulletin. But I wanted to also share that our pastor's Bible study is alive and well on Wednesdays at noon and at 6. And it will continue at least through Lent. And so I invite you to consider that as a part of your Lenten discipline, to come and study the Bible with other believers and to share it together at lunchtime on Wednesday or at 6 p.m. after work. So either one of those is an option for you. Today we get to share in the sacrament of holy baptism. We celebrate communion as frequently as possible. We as people of faith celebrate baptism one time, when we are baptized, and that is God's action on our behalf. We don't redo it because God gets it right the first time. Just to be clear, baptism begins God's covenant. It's God's step toward us. And baptism always awaits our claiming of that faith, our stepping into it, stepping toward God. And that happens when we're confirmed, when we decide to confirm that faith, when we grow older enough to understand and appreciate and to be able to willfully make a commitment of faith to follow Jesus. And so that sort of completes the circle. Now, that's a long theological discussion in about a minute and a half. So that's how it works, though. God's action for us is initiated in baptism, and it is awaiting our response as we live into a way of fulfilling that vow of baptism. So, I invite you to let us share together and to sing our faith and to claim our faith. And as we begin our worship, let us calm our souls and mine and spend some time significantly with one another and with God.
Now, if you would rise as you're able for hymn number 555, Forward Through the Ages.
cross, for it died. Forward through the ages in unbroken line, move the faithful spirits at the call divine. Not alone we conquer, not alone we fall. In each loss or triumph, lose or triumph all, bound by God's purpose, in one living whole, move we on together to the shining goal. Forward through the ages in unbroken line, move the faithful spirit in the call divine.
As you take your seats, please let those who are to be presented for baptism today and those who will stand with them come to the Lord's table. Oh, this is just fine right here. Oh, wonderful. Good to see you. Beautiful. I invite you to page 33 in our hymnal as we share together in the order of service for this moment, this holy moment. Page 33. We won't do all of these sections. I will walk you through it, okay? So let's begin. Number one. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through confirmation, one day, for these two, when they can claim their own faith, and through reaffirming our faith, we renew the covenants that are declared even when we are too young to know it. We acknowledge what God is doing for us and continues to do, and affirm our covenant to Christ's holy church. So today, these two dear ones are presented for holy baptism. Waylon Blake McDaniel and Bentley Kate Wallace. On the next page, item 5, let me ask you as parents, as the ones who get to be with these kids every day and to love them and to cherish them and to help them grow, will you nurture them and help them to understand Christ's holy church so that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. I believe you. And will you, who sponsor all of these folks here, are your sponsors who will pray for you and lift you and your families as well. Will you, who sponsor these folks, support and encourage them in their Christian life? So, let us join on page 35 as we affirm our faith together with this version of the Apostles' Creed. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to faith in Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. So let us join in professing the Christian faith as found in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father,
and will come again
to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery. When nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water, and after the rain, you set a rainbow in the clouds. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan River to the land which you had promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his dying and resurrection, and to make disciples of all the nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among the people. Now pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Bless the gift of water and these who receive it, to wash away our sin and clothe us all in righteousness throughout our lives, so that dying and rising with Christ, we all may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through the Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. So, are you ready? So, naming is an important thing. Naming is important. And in fact, a lot of people think that your Christian name is the name you're given when you're baptized. This little one already has a name. What name is given this child for the rest of his life?
Wayland Blake McDaniel.
So let us show you off. You are a beautiful child. And he's playing with my name tag. So I'm going to put a little water on your head, okay? And it's going to drip down. Are you ready? It's going to be cold, see? Will that be all right? All right. Wayland Blake McDaniel, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. You have a response to make. Pilate. your mother have you, or your daddy.
Don't cry.
It'll be all right.
You're doing so well.
God bless you, little one. We have a response to make. Yes. And so it is amen. You said that already.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we have Bentley. Here is your certificate.
Thank you.
And a beautiful blanket.
Made by the prayer shawl. And a Bible.
And now let's just explain this for a moment. We try to give our children Bibles four times in their lives. That's when they're baptized. They can't even read it. You want to help her hold some of this?
There we go.
When they're babies, and so they have, this is a board book. It's a picture book. They can turn the pages and use it and abuse it, okay? It's all right. It'll be sweet. Then when they're in the third grade, when they are learning to read, we give them a children's Bible. When they're confirmed in the sixth grade, we give them a Bible that they can really begin to understand. And when they graduate from high school, something they can put in their pocket and take with them to college. So, are we ready? Bentley Kate, may I please hold her? How beautiful, precious little one. Jewels on your head. Oh, hold you this way so you can see your mom and dad. How about that? All right, I should have warmed the water up a little bit. That would have been a good idea. All right, let's hold that in my hand a minute until it warms up. So, Bentley Kate, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let God hold you and bless you and keep you. Amen.
There you go. Come on, baby girl.
Sweet. Now, thank you, Amy. So, it's our joy now to welcome our brothers and sisters in Christ and to pray for them and help them grow to where they will take steps toward claiming their own faith and owning it for themselves. Join me on the middle of 37. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Jesus Christ. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ. Now, all of you, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you for letting me hold her.
Thank you.
God bless. And everybody who's here today for this holy moment, we'll save you a spot next Sunday. We treasure our children, and so now it is time for our kids to come down to the front for the children's place at the altar with Amy today. Come on down.
Good morning. What a great crowd. Hey, all right. Well, our Bible teaching today is from the book of Matthew. I'm going to read one verse for you, okay? Matthew 5, 23. It says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and then remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go and ask for forgiveness from your brother or sister, and then come back and offer your gift." Okay? So I have an envelope here. Do you guys know what this is? What's this for? Do you know what this is for? Anybody know? Britt? No? Maybe you guys don't use them very often. This is an envelope, and it says an offering to God. Okay? And you would put your money in here. You can put your money in here. You can just put it in the plate without an envelope. But it asks for your name and the date and then the amount of money that's in the envelope, okay? Now, most of you have brought offerings before, and you've put them in the offering plates as they're passed in the pews, right? Coins or dollars, maybe, from your bank or from your parents or from your families. And most of you, there are many places in the Bible where it tells us how important it is to make an offering to God and to give back to God, who gives us everything, okay? But God also he's interested in what's in our heart, okay? What's in our heart, okay? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, if you are presenting your offering to God and you remember that you said something hurtful to another person, leave your gift and go ask for forgiveness. Tell them you're sorry, right? And then come back and offer your gift to God. So before we give our offering today, perhaps we should ask ourselves some questions. And I have a heart here, okay? This represents our heart, all right, and our spirit. And if we ask ourselves some questions like, I gotta open this. There we go. Like, have we been angry with someone this week? Yeah, if we're honest, yeah. So we scribble on the heart there. We make a spot. Okay. Have I called someone a bad name this week? Especially our brothers or sisters.
Mm-hmm. If we're honest, yes.
We try not to, but sometimes it happens. Have I said something that wasn't true this week? Told a little lie, maybe, probably a little one. Yeah. Now, what happens to our heart? What happened to our heart? Spots, it's kind of dirty, right? Yeah, but when we go to our brothers or sisters or our parents or our friends or our classmates, when we go to them and we say, you know, I'm sorry I was angry at you. I'm sorry I called you a bad name. And we ask them for forgiveness, and then we tell God that we're sorry, and we ask God for his forgiveness, then you know what happens? Do you know what happens when we ask for forgiveness and we tell people we're sorry and we work to do it better? That's right. All of those bad things are cleaned. We're forgiven, okay? And when people do things, bad things to us, and they ask us for forgiveness, we tell them we forgive them and our hearts are clean. There's a song that I learned, I think, at camp. I was looking for it in the hymnals, and I don't see it. But it goes like this. It goes, and it's a song, it's a hymn of prayer. And when you repeat over and over, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And you just sing that over and over. And pray on that. Okay? So let's bow our heads for prayer, okay? Dear God, sometimes we say things in anger and that hurt other people. Help us to guard against hateful and hurtful words, and please forgive us when we ask those we have hurt to forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank you so much for coming this morning. You can go back to your seats with your families now.
So it's time for our offering. Thank you, Amy. Thank you. And boys and girls, time for our offering. And you know, this is not the only way that we give back to God. We give to God through our, as Methodists, we pledge to uphold our faith in Christ through our prayers, our presence, that's coming to worship, through our giving, and through our serving others, and through our witness of faith in the world. Those five things, prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Not all of that will fit in these offering plates, but right now, the ushers are coming so that we can collect up and present our monetary offerings. The church and its ministries is a costly thing, and it takes all of us to support that and to nurture it. But mainly we give back to God because God is the giver and has given to us. Let us worship God with all our gifts.
Like the murmur of the dove's song.
Dove song, like the challenge of her flock.
There's a prayer insert in our bulletin, and I'd like to call your attention to that and let us name others. I didn't see any yellow cards for additional prayer requests, but if you have others, you may use one of those after the service and share that with me. Also, if you are our guest today, I think the yellow prayer cards are in the pews, and also the green cards for our guests, and if you would use one of those and let us have a way to contact you, something that will be convenient for you. We're not going to bug you, but we would like to stay in touch if possible. And you could put those, you could hand those to me after the service or hand them to one of the ushers. I wanted to tell you that Barbara Gish has passed. Most of you know that already. And we want to remember Susan and her brother and her kids. Family, we're going to have a memorial service on Friday this week at 10 a.m. in the chapel down at the other end of the building, the west end of the building. And so we are looking forward to sharing that, some holy moments and some good stories with those folks, and we're planning on a lunch for them. There are others that we want to remember. Those who are struggling around the world with diseases, cruel diseases, and for those who are struggling to raise a family, especially those with the youngest children, like we have with us today, and not that they're struggling, but that they have a great challenge ahead of them. Let's remember all of our families that have young folks, and especially the infants, the youngest ones. So, it's our joy, Kathy and I, to get to have our grandpeople with us today. We've got Nathaniel here, and Caroline is here somewhere, probably down in the child care area. But we are always glad to have them home, and glad that we get to worship with them. So, with all of these prayers in mind, let us pause and begin our praying with silence, and then I will voice our prayers before we share praying together the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we come before you always, trembling, and not because of fear, but because we are so unworthy. And yet we know that you love us anyway and that you hold us close. O God, in these times where we bow before the prospects of trying to raise a family or to give birth or to nurture those who are so very young, we tremble and recognize the great responsibility that you put before us. Sometimes you put us here to be parents when we don't really know how yet. And so we find our way. And with some children, O God, you put them here before their parents know how to be parents. For all of us, let us find those who are motherless, who are from homes that can't seem to make everything work. Let us find ways to mentor others and to hold them up and to live a life of faith that even maybe becomes the gospel for them. Let us live lives that would shine light on theirs. And let us recognize the light that they will shine on us in the process. Help us to love one another as Jesus called us to, and especially the young and vulnerable. Help us to love one another and look forward to the love that they will bless us with. Oh God, when we are together in a place like this, we feel the precious love and life of your Spirit, the wind that washes among us and that holds us, that blows us and enables us to be and become the disciples that you call us to be. Help us, God, to make a difference in our world, not just to say we believe, but to say we do our faith, to live into it, to go to the neighborhoods, to go to the downtown and to the campuses, to be a light in a world that seems dark sometimes and so needs the light of Christ, who is the light of the world. In these moments, O God, we all lift our prayers in silence and in voice and in singing and around our tables in our own households and kitchens. God, we thank you for loving us in Jesus, and we thank you that you are the God who hears our praying and walks beside us. We thank you and love you in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who teaches us to pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's reading comes from the book of Matthew, verses 21 through 37. This could be found in your pew Bible, page 4 of the New Testament. You have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable for judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with your brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult your brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift to the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First to be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser. While you are on the way to court with him, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown in prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body go to hell. It is also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said that those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for that is the throne of God, or by earth, for that is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything else comes from the evil one. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Dave, for reading that difficult text. And thanks be to God that we have a Savior who redeems us when we can't do all of those things. I'd like to talk with you for a moment today about staying in the steps or walking in the way. I remember seeing an image one time of a child who is trying to step in his father's footprints, and his father's legs are much longer, and the child is taking giant steps trying to step into his father's steps. Now, I can imagine how that looks to a child. It looks impossible, right? And they'll think, I'm never going to be that big. I'm never going to grow up. But think for a moment how it looks to the father who is taking those steps and turns around and watches the child trying to do the impossible. I believe and hope that that's how God is with us, like the Father, who sets the standard, sets the goals, makes the steps, the impressions, the rules, if you have to call them rules, but the objectives, and calls us to follow in the way that leads to life eternal, but looks around to us and smiles when we can't quite keep up. We can't quite do it. And I think even turns around and holds a hand for a child, for you, for me, to come along like the child trying to step in his father's tracks. So, moms and dads, whose steps are you following? Some impossible parent or ancestor from the past, some ideal, some mentor that you've looked up to, somebody who illustrates God's leading for you? Yeah, you're going to stumble too. But you're going to get up again, and you're going to step again in those steps. And yeah, you're going to get your feet muddy, and you're going to slip, and you're going to tumble sometimes, but you're going to get up and go again. And your kids will do the same as they follow you. Some of you don't have children, and that's fine. In fact, that may be an advantage. If you don't, you may. If you haven't, you have mentored somebody along the way, and you too have somebody who walks in your steps, whether you know it or not. Who follows you? And I'm not talking about Facebook or Twitter. We talk about our social media and we say followers. Well, I've got 868 followers, you know? Well, and people brag about that. I think that's an awesome thing, but it's an awesome responsibility. They're all reading what you write. Who follows you? And I'm not talking about social media. I've told you this story before, but it fits so well here, I have to share it again. I had a friend in high school who was younger than me, and when it came annual signing time, he signed my yearbook. I was a senior, and he was a junior or a sophomore. We were in choir together. Sometimes we sang together, so he knew me pretty well. But in my annual, you know how you pass it around in the classroom and everybody writes in it, and later you don't read it till a couple of days later. When I read what Scott wrote, he wrote a couple of lines, you know, encouragement and admiration, and he signed it, "Your follower, comma, Scott." I'll never forget how that looks on the page, because he spelled Scott with one T, and that just stuck in my mind. But "your follower," that word just assaulted my conscience. And I thought, whoa. And I had thought up and at that time, much of my life, about what it meant to be a good follower, what it meant to follow Christ or to follow my parents or to follow people I admired. But I hadn't really thought of myself until that time as someone to be followed, okay? But all of us have that. All of us have somebody who looks up to us. If not our own children, then those close to us or in our neighborhood. Psalm 119 helps a bit. It says those who walk in the Lord's instruction are truly happy. They seek God with all their hearts, and they walk in God's ways. I don't think that means we don't ever make a mistake, or we don't ever stumble, or we don't ever say something that we wish we hadn't said. It means not that we're perfect, but that we walk in God's ways. We talk a lot about leadership, and leadership is not much good without understanding what fellowship means. And that means we have to have somebody to follow too. So I suggest we follow Jesus. Jesus is the one who said, "Follow me, and I will make you to fish for people." Sometimes people fish for fish. But this is people fishing for people. Who are your followers? Who comes under your influence? Who do you have looking up to you that you hadn't even thought about? I guarantee you, you've got followers. We should follow the psalmist who says, "Step by step you lead me, O God, and I will follow you all of my days." Oh yeah, you've got followers. So you better, and I better, follow Christ. Let us follow the one who said, "I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life." He said, "I am the way." Let us follow that way and walk in His footsteps. So be it. Amen. If today is a day for you to turn and follow Christ in a new way, or to join this congregation of United Methodist believers, we would be tickled to get to worship with you every Sunday and to walk and take steps of faith together. If you have a walking stick, take it with you and walk knowing that you're not alone. Walk knowing that Christ is by your side and that it's up to us to follow in His footsteps. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. It's number 467, right?
Yeah.
Tyler, trust and obey. As you stand to sing, let me just say that we walk with God. Please stand and let's prepare to sing this hymn. And if today is a day for you to take a new step of faith to walk with God or claim your faith in a new way, I would love to share that with you. Or if you were ready to join this congregation of United Methodist people by any of the ways that we accept members and step along beside us, then I invite you to come as we sing verses 1 and 4 of this hymn of invitation.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. what he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
As we go, I invite you to remember your own baptism and give thanks to God. And as we go from this place, I invite you to remember to be pushed, to be pulled, or to be carried, but always to be ready to walk in His footsteps, the steps of Jesus. Amen.